Elsa.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing okay.
I got to tell people while I'm laughing, because I don't know that I can't remember if we've addressed this on the show or not, but very recently, as in within the last like 3 months, you've been really pushing the, hey man, we need our webcams on. We need to be able to see each other.
I want to see you, man, when we're doing this. I want to, you know, we live in different cities, and there's just energy that comes with me being able to look at your
giant, massive forehead and everything else. No, like, that's the thing though. Like, I get so self-conscious seeing myself in the webcam, and then also the way it's set up is, like, I've got, you know, the funny thing is, like, it's hard to explain. No, it's not hard to explain. You remember The Matrix? The first Matrix?
Okay. Yeah, I did. That's a movie I saw. Yeah.
That is one you have seen.
Yeah,
right,
that's a movie I saw.
They got all the monitors, right? The guy, I'm blanking on the bad guy's name. But anyway, he's like sitting there and he's got all the monitors in front of him. That is basically my setup. I've got this one, this one, this one. And typically I have one or two behind me for different purposes.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, webcam. Oh, snap. Well, that's going to be facing this way and not this way. So you're going to get like a constant profile view. And I'm giving you the side eye every single time I look at you.
That's good. It's reminiscent of the old, you know, like when we were together, and I'd say something stupid and you kind of give me that side eye, you know what I mean? This way it's kind of permanent, right? It
Fair
just
enough,
kind of fits in all the time. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
It
I
works,
like it.
Man.
It's good. It's a nice addition. So
this is a good episode for the side eye, man, with what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
But before we jump into that, we've got a couple things we need to cover first, man. First off, you know, we've been talking about it for the last several episodes. We've got the Country Squire Radio Ring out available now. And if you go to countrysquireradio.com, you'll find a direct link where you can order yours there. A gorgeous ring, you know, really, really been enjoying it. Actually, it's actually kind of become part of my normal attire. I find I literally have the ring sitting next to my watch. And when I put on my watch, I put on the ring and, you know, I go out and look very fashionable.
It's
and
part of your everyday carry now. I mean,
every day when I'm out of the house, that's the main thing. Like, when you get out of the house, you want to kind of look good a little bit. You know, you got to, like, you don't want to be too roughed up. Although that is going to kind of play into a quick fire question we have coming down the road. More on that later. But man, I've been really, really enjoying the Country Squire ring.
Man, me too. And of course, Mimo Breyer and handmade here in the United States. And just so, so thankful for how those came out. And I mean, really, really, really proud of them. So grab one. We think you'll enjoy it.
That's right, man. And then, hey, of course, this show is made possible by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Man, we've got not one, but two new squires joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
I'm excited about this too.
We have both the marsh and the dust lands represented here with Jeff of the wet marshlands.
I think it's wit marshes, maybe.
Oh.
Unless it's German, and it could be wit marshes. But man, yeah. But Jeff, that's great. Thanks for joining, man.
Thank you for joining us all the way from the wet marshes. And then we also have from the Dustlands, Michael Dutson, the son of Dutt. I should have been son of Dutt. That would
I was
going
to say
much
it has nothing
sense.
To do with dust because it's Dutson.
See,
Michael,
my dyslexia threw all that off.
Yeah, it's so bad you can't even say dyslexia. That's great, man. Michael, thanks for hopping on board, man. At the Squire level, that's awesome.
That's right. We also have Brian McNevin, who is joining us as a patron and supporting the show that way. And y'all, again, we cannot do it without your support. So thank y'all so much. If you want to learn more, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Oh man, you know it's funny. I'm so eager to get into this this topic that I completely forgot. We also have some like physical mail here.
Mailbag, but mailbox.
It's a mailbox. I got a box. You were asking me about this, and so Mark VV, longtime listener of the show, someone who's been referenced several times, and I think Country Squire Radio super fan. I think is a way to
absolutely.
Say
absolutely, and become a dear friend. Yeah,
that's right. All right, so you've actually opened yours because we were talking about this. And I was saying, well, I wanted to kind of do it live.
Yeah.
And so I've got my box here. I'm about to open it up. Okay. Now, I haven't looked inside yet, but like there's something I need to acknowledge here. It's from Mark, which already has me mildly nervous.
Right.
And then it's also, because Mark can be a trickster, but it's also rather light, which for some reason makes me even more nervous.
No, it's good. Yeah, it could be a lot of things. It really could. I think you'll be happy with it.
Ooh.
Okay, all right, let's see.
Black trash bags, which
wow.
could mean like a, you know, severed hand or something. Someone's oh, kidney.
No, we got the Taps VIP. All
Isn't
right.
That nice, man. Yes. I know. What a great treat. It's a Taps VIP tobacco that I think you referenced not too long ago on the show. And it's a, you know, well, I'll just read the back of it real quick. Triangle Area Pipe Smokers is located in the historical heart of tobacco country. The remnants of tobacco glory's days can be seen in the Victorian homes lining somnolent streets of isolated small towns and in the tobacco barns that dot the rural landscape. Fortunate to have within its membership a master blender, VIP comes with two great classic southern tobaccos from the tobacco heartland, Bright Virginias from the bayous of Louisiana, Spicy Perique, with a classic aromatic flavor. The result is a local expression of a fine Virginia Perique. And so, yeah, Taps VIP, really nice tin, man.
Absolutely. Oh, this is exciting, man. I'm so excited. You know, this is, so yep. I mentioned Mark's a trickster, right?
Right. He is.
So, all right. So not only do I get this beautiful tin of tobacco, but I felt something else while you were reading that. I was like, oh my goodness, he just sent me a pipe. And Mark, like, that's the thing. Mark is a trickster, but he is also extremely generous. And so, like, I've got some gorgeous pipes, a few of which are in my collection because of Mark. And so I'm feeling this and I'm thinking, like, oh my goodness, you know, just recently I saw this image, I guess it might have been on Reddit, maybe it was on Instagram, of like this pipe with kind of this unique square shape.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. I don't think I mentioned anywhere that this is a pipe that I wanted. Like, that's crazy. And so then I kind of reach in, I pull it out, I'm like, and I noticed kind of first off the coloring, I'm like, well, no, that's not the pipe that I was thinking of. And then as my hand wrapped around this, I mean, how to say it? I thought that this was about to be a high-end pipe. I didn't realize I was going to get one of the holy grails of pipedom.
Not just a high-end pipe, it's like the highest end pipe. It really is. I mean, especially with this exquisite beaver rustication.
Oh my goodness.
That we've discussed on the show before. Matter of fact, we have an entire episode surrounding this incredible carver. But man, Bo, what are you holding there? What am I holding?
I feel as if you've got one too. This is amazing, man. This is I feel as though I can feel the power because, ladies and gentlemen, I am holding, and John David is currently holding in his hand, connected by the power, we are both holding Glenn Original Pipes.
Yeah,
right
G-L-Y-N,
here.
G-L-Y-N, man. Glenn Pipes.
My goodness.
We think it's, I mean, these look to be bona fide, you know, originals. I mean, the, you know, and the way you can really authenticate Glenn Pipes is, you know, obviously the beaver rustication. You want to make sure that the beaver teeth and claws
yes.
are, looked like they were asymmetrical, like maybe the beaver had chewed on like an iron fence or something for a while.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And so and also another way to authenticate a Glenn pipe is the, you know, asymmetrical drilling. That's very important.
Okay.
And, of course, this has that in spades.
Yours comes off. See, I think mine's like welded on there.
Fused together.
Yeah, that's
one thing Mark said in his letter, man, just Mark, and by the way, thank you so much, man. This is so
absolutely.
Generous,
this is huge.
He says, Steve, the International Pipe Smoking Day Raptor, left these on my porch last year because I was a good boy. I generously impart them to you guys. Maybe the stems I had made cost more than the bowls? But that's not the point. The point is Steve clearly has good taste and a wicked sense of humor. Enjoy these pipes. And so anyway, Mark, thank you so much, brother, for our own Glenn pipes. It's really cool. Mark found these Glenn bowls that we've referenced on a show before online. And he actually sent these to Briarville. Briarville, a great pipe restoration outfit. They do really good work. You should look into them if you ever need a new stem made or a pipe cleaned or restored. And anyway, he had Briarville make these stems for these beautiful Glenn pipes. And I must say it the stems are very nice.
I just, you know, I am so full of the love
something
that is coming from this Glenn pipe right here. I mean, like, this is, it's one of the holy grails of pipedom, ladies and gentlemen. I really, I,
yeah.
I, I'm honored. I think we're done, John David. I think we've reached the max of what we can do with Country Squire Radio when we now both hold Glenn Pipes.
People thought, you know, that we jumped the shark when you know, we had like our barbecue episode or something.
We didn't do that though. We never did.
Yeah. But here's the Glenn Pipe, and so yeah, that's it, man. That's it.
All right. This, you know, the great thing. Look, like, if you don't believe in God's providence, this is the beautiful thing, because not only are we holding Glenn Pipes today of all days, we are actually doing a hamster cage pipe tobacco episode. And man, woo! Like, can you, like, I wish, quote unquote, I wish I had the hamster cage pipe tobacco we're about to talk about, because then I could really enjoy it to a whole nother level in my Glenn
pipe. You
know,
you're right. I mean, it is something about, man, the good Lord's providence and, you know, orchestrating all these things for our good and his glory. And here we are, you know, holding these brand new Glenn pipes with their signature beaver rustication. And of course, we're talking about tobacco from the hamster cage with love, man. This is a hamster cage special. Of course, this is Country Squire Radio's opportunity to tour some of the best pipe tobaccos in the world. No, you know, this is what we do, right? We you know, on Country Squire Radio, we take our opportunities to talk about the finest tobaccos in the world, the finest pipe tobaccos that have been painstakingly blended and crafted, aged, and the leaves, you know, very particularly sourced from specific regions around the world, and, you know, all these famous blenders that have come together to make these exquisite tobaccos. And then talk about other tobaccos too, and we talk about,
well, there's the best, and there's the rest,
and there's the rest, and then there's the well, I was about to say the best of the rest, but there's also the worst of the rest.
There's also the worst, yeah.
And so we, you know, occasionally we'll bring up these tobaccos that are just so awful that you think of them as, you know, something to line your hamster cage with. And of course, we refer to these as hamster cage tobaccos, and they are the brunt of some of our more animated episodes on Country Squire Radio, and we are resurrecting that today.
Yeah. All right. So that's always a little bit of a challenge, because I'm thinking, you know, part of this is, I think one thing that has to be stated is that, if I'm not mistaken, after the first hamster cage pipe tobacco, maybe the second one, I think you incorporated the name, or suggested we incorporated the name, with love. So, like, from the hamster cage with love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's important, right? Because that everything is somebody's favorite something. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right. And with this one, we may forego that. I mean, you know, I don't. I'm typically the
I'm trying to undercut it, and you're like, nope.
I'm typically the half of Country Squire Radio that's always trying to apologize for things, you know, and Bo's like, nah, just rip the Band-Aid off. Everything's great. And this is one of those where, you know, really we shouldn't have never applied a Band-Aid to this particular one. You know, in the past, hamster cage tobaccos, we've talked about Borkum Riff and Captain Black Grape. And then we have talked about premium hamster cage tobaccos that really, I mean, to be honest, should not be classified as hamster cage tobaccos, but just come in similar packaging, particularly the Amphora tobaccos, which are actually great. This is for, like, if you had a prized thoroughbred hamster, like a hamster with a championship pedigree, you know, that like, okay, needed. I mean, you know, this is Queen Elizabeth's hamster. This would be something for her, right. for her hamster, right?
Yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah.
But what about the particularly, you know, the opposite end of that spectrum? What about the particularly bad hamsters? You know, what about the hamsters that maybe have evil thoughts, or are irredeemable?
The Rasputin's, ones that, you know, hamster.
Well, if you think Rasputin's hamster, the ones, have you ever read, you know, Dante's Inferno, the hamsters that might be included in, you know, the Inferno, you know, what, the ones whose souls are irredeemable, you know, that really, the hamsters that embody evil. I mean, these are the hamsters, you know, we're just now coming off of Halloween, and, you know, it's so the worst of the worst. And, you know, to paraphrase the great Puritan Jonathan Edwards, the road to hell is paved with the skulls of these unforgivable hamsters, right? It's I think that was was that a direct quote? I can't remember.
I'm paraphrasing for sure. Yeah.
So we have tobaccos that are appropriate for said hamster cages, and today we are talking about OHM. OHM pipe tobaccos. We got several samples of these in not too long ago at the Country Squire, and just wanted to share our candid thoughts on these tobaccos and the look on Beau's face just as he's Googling these exquisite tobaccos is bringing to mind everything that's on my mind. We get samples of this kind of stuff occasionally from folks in the tobacco world. And it being a tobacco shop, the Country Squire, we are a tobacconist. We sell hand-blended pipe tobacco, exquisite briar pipes from all over the world, handmade cigars that range in, price from $10 to $100. We sell premium tobacco products, right? But because of our category that we get put in, we also get these catalogs and promotionals from distributors that sell things like detox shampoos and Zippo lighters that have inappropriate images on them that we are not Country Squire Radio friendly, and fake urine to pass a drug test maybe, or Bob Marley t-shirts, these low end tobacco shops that just, that's what they carry, and that's, hey, everyone's got to make a living. So OHM tobaccos, they come in 1 pound bags and 8 ounce bags, and they have the delicious flavors of natural, bold, extra bold, Turkish red, Turkish yellow, menthol, silver, and blue. And I'm assuming blue
and blue?
I think that's the one that tastes like Smurf berries, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it. So you've got this extra, wonderful flavor palette here, so it really is quite impressive. I spent a long time trying to find out what OHM stands for. I spent a very inappropriate amount of time looking for what OHM stands for. And there is no evidence whatsoever online that OHM stands for anything. I have no idea. So I'm just imparting on OHM only hamsters, man. Only hamsters. That's all I got.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's all I got. They market this tobacco as being mixtures of burley, Virginia, and occasionally Turkish tobaccos, just depending on the blend. Of course, these are marketed as, quote, a flawless selection of tobaccos. The tobacco leaves are treated in a skilled manner. Not sure what skill that is, but, some skill is involved, which is right. Fantastic.
It contains real tobacco leaf.
it does, which is very impressive. They also want you to know that the tobacco is cured and blended, so that's good. Mm. I don't know what it was cured of. Maybe it was cured of COVID. This is what I really like about how OHM describes their tobacco. This tobacco stands apart from the competition because, quote, the tobacco leaves have been filtered. The filtration process makes the blend strong and smooth, especially in comparison with other options available on the market. So,
filtered pipe tobacco.
They're saying the tobacco itself has been filtered. And the only thing I can imagine, in all honesty, the only thing I can imagine they mean by that is that they're referring to the process of stripping and deveining the tobacco so that you're basically separating the leaf of the tobacco from the stems and the tears kind of deal.
Huh.
That's all I can get from that. So I'm assuming that's what that means. And so,
let me ask you this, because like I hear filtered in a tobacco context and I'm thinking cigarettes, right? Like that's a terminology that's typically used for cigarettes.
Yeah, we think of it as just, a cigarette including an actual filter, right? I mean, something that is actually physically a part of the nicotine delivery device, right?
Interesting. And, okay.
But they're saying it's going through a process of filtration before they actually put it in this bag and then sell it to you. And so, again, that's the only thing I can think of that the folks at OHM Tobaccos are painstakingly removing the stems and tears from the leaves of the tobacco so that we don't have to do that on our end. And that's
very gracious. But I mean, like, all right, but hang on, I want to stick on this for a second. Like, I love where you're going. I love where your head's at in this discussion already. But like, literally, am I start? I mean, I probably started to put the pieces together as soon as I saw what I was looking at. But like, are they perhaps trying to market pipe tobacco to a more cigarette or funny cigarette crowd, for lack of a better term?
They can't say anything about that. They can't. That's the thing. This is taxed as pipe tobacco, so they can't.
Right.
They can't refer to anything in that way. It is listed as pipe tobacco, and that's why you get the blue and the blue. Turkish red and the and menthol, right? And so these are obviously traditional pipe tobacco flavors, right? So blue and Turkish red and silver.
Yes.
Silver. These are traditional. You know what you
Wait,
might
silver.
Expect.
I missed silver.
It's silver. There's a silver in there too.
There is a silver. Look at that. Menthol gold.
What I like about the OHM tobaccos too, they really, of course, they take the quality of their product very seriously. And so they package them in their trademark Fresh Lock. That's FRES-LOC.
Ooh.
Resealable pouch. And that is unique. The Fresh Lock LOC resealable pouch is unique to OHM tobacco. It's so that it, quote, retains its freshness and flavor.
Wow.
And so,
some high tech stuff right there.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you smoke these tobaccos.
Did you? Did you smoke these tobaccos?
I powered through a couple. I powered through a couple. I did. And of course, you know, we're having a lot of fun at the expense of OHM, but
right.
And we get to do that because they're calling themselves pipe tobacco, and this is a pipe tobacco show, and we're, you know, need some comedic relief occasionally. But yeah, OHM, of course, this is tobacco that, of course, is marketed towards the roll-your-own enthusiasts, and you know, there's a big market for that. They make these tobaccos just a little thicker cut in order to be taxed differently by the feds, so that they can call this stuff pipe tobacco, but really the way it's processed and marketed is all based towards the folks that you know, are rolling their own cigarettes. I mean, you're just you know, you don't want to buy Marlboro Reds or you know, the Turkish Camels or whatever at the you know, Walgreens or your local gas station. You know, you want to just roll these yourself. And of course, the menthol being the giveaway there from the folks at OHM. But yeah, it's really awful though. It really is awful. You know, it's one of those things. There are good rolling tobaccos. There really are good rolling tobaccos that are marketed as pipe tobaccos and you know, do a great job at having some of that nice, more nuanced flavor that, you know, you can enjoy through maybe a high quality rolling paper or something. But yeah, in my mind, OHM is probably not one of them.
Wow.
There is a chemically ashy flavor to them that it's just not really, you know, not something that's particularly sought after in a high quality pipe tobacco. You know, I was thinking about what the smell of this reminded me of. And Bo, have you, you know, you lived in Jackson for a long time, and you know, I'm sure you're really familiar with the reservoir area up there. And you know, are you familiar with the old dive called Shuckers?
Of course I know Shuckers. Yeah. I've got some terrible memories from Shuckers. Absolutely.
Well, maybe you kind of know where I'm going with this. I'm trying to think, like, Shuckers is, how do I describe it? It's one of those, it's one of those places where, like, the, you know, well, I need to be delicate.
I was about to say, be respectful.
I need to be delicate. This is the kind of place where, you know, if let's say a 23-year-old John David wanted to go to and become good friends.
If you peaked in high school and it's been a couple of decades,
right?
And you're probably at this place.
That's true. But also, if I'm a young male, you know, professional that would like to, you know, maybe encounter a lady that is more of our parents' age. Right.
And
you know, have some quality time with that person. This is the place you would go. Right?
This is the place.
That's what I'm saying.
She peaked in high school and now she's at Shuckers.
That's kind of what happened. So anyway,
and there's a lot of football stars that peaked in high school and are at Shuckers too. And striking out because they're all ladies are all going a little bit younger there.
No, it is what it is. So anyway, the smell of this kind of it just kind of reminds me of Shuckers. You know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, we did choke a few of these down.
Shuckers is also an oyster bar, too. I mean, like, to be clear, when we're talking
they got good food.
When we're talking, you know, smell, it's not because of the people. It's because of it's because of the oysters. It's because of the oyster. Right. I want to be clear on that.
Exactly. anyway, what kind of oysters are we eating, right?
You're getting in so much trouble, man.
This is a disaster. Anyway, you know, so OHM, the menthol is particularly mentholated. It does have, you know, kind of that tangy, astringent menthol flavor that you do associate with some cigarettes. And, you know, if that's what you're after, that's great. You know,
what are you doing listening to this show? But sure, yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The Turkish, the red, you know, the bold variety is pretty bold. I would you know, compare this maybe to a Marlboro that I've smoked before. And then the silver is, you know, typically... When we hear this kind of verbiage referring to cigarette tobacco in the United States, what happened about 10 years ago is the federal government did not allow them to call cigarettes full or light or extra light or any of that. They had to remove that kind of language from cigarette marketing. And so so there is no – you can't call a cigarette ultra light anymore or a light you know, cigarette anymore. It's just not legal. And so so they started marketing these colors, and the colors are kind of associated with that. And so you're just – you're supposed to know – you're just kind of supposed to know what the colors mean. And you can't really – they can't officially tell you, but you just kind of – you know, there's associations that you just kind of, oh, well, all the brands, their stronger one tends to be the red, and their milder one tends to be the blue, and their mildest tends to be the silver, and their menthol tends to be the green. And so that's just what it is.
I would, like, honestly, this is just not my world, man. So I would never have guessed that was the order based on the color scheme.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You just, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know unless you kind of have some history with this or have, you know, maybe, you know, back in the day you did used to see that. That's kind of how they would, you know, the gold maybe was more of the milder variety, and then they had the silver, which was like the ultra lights, you know, and so now they just go with the color because that's all they can do. But wow. So anyway, you know, these do kind of track with that. They're full body tobaccos. If you are into rolled cigarettes, you know, certainly there's, you know, some high quality, you know, cigarette rolling tobaccos that are marketed as pipe tobacco on the market. And then there's OHM. We're having a little fun at their expense, but everyone's got a hamster. And or has maybe had one in their life at some point, and there's good hamsters and bad hamsters, and you know, for those hamsters that you find yourself struggling with, there's OHM tobacco.
OHM tobacco, the tobacco that's lining the hamster cage of Satan himself.
Only hamsters, man.
My goodness. All right, well, man, that's you know, it's. Normally, this is the part of the show where we transition to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, who make quality corncob pipes. The great thing about quality corncob pipes is that you can enjoy various pipe tobaccos to get every single flavor. This is what I'm going to do for our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. I'm going to say, don't smoke this pipe tobacco in a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
No, don't.
Maybe go Glen for this stuff, but after you need to save yourself and go back to some good quality and get the fullness of some actual quality pipe tobacco, that's when you pick up your pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right. That is right. And maybe you've got a good friend like Mark Van Vranken that has sent you a you know, a delicious tin of Taps VIP
yes,
Virginia Perique pipe tobacco or something like that. And if it's a special pipe tobacco that you know you do want to enjoy the nuanced flavor of, and really appreciate the tasting notes, a Missouri Meerschaum is just an excellent fit. What I like what they've done this year, they have a beautiful section on their website of gift sets that you can go to. This is one of the first times they've done this, but they come in these very, very handsome Missouri Meerschaum drawstring burlap pouches. It's just very, very attractive how they've put them together. Make a really wonderful gift for someone else in your life or for your yourself if you need a little variety with a handsome carry case. So they vary in price and in style. They've got ones that start around $14.99 and go all the way up to $54.99, depending on if you want a pipe gift set or a gift set that includes a pipe, a pouch moistener, and some tobacco. They've got different types of tobacco that they've kind of curated for this, and they've even got some leather goods that they've put in there in these very, very attractive gift sets. So go check them out. You can go to corncobpipe.com and select the gift set that is right for you, these holiday bundles, and of course, they'll ship it right to your front door.
That's right. And hey, if you happen to get a holiday bundle, you want to open that up, do kind of an unboxing, take some pictures of it, put it out on social media. Be sure to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you heard about them on this show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week, man. Coming in this week, let me get all this terrible pipe tobacco off my screen. got all the windows of me triangulating.
People come visit Jackson, Mississippi now, and they're going to want to go. They're going to want to go to Shuckers. I mean, and frankly, I'll be happy to send them there.
Did we really give a promo to Shuckers? I feel like we just gave an honest representation of what Shuckers is. Pipe question of the week this week, man, coming in from Chris from South Londonderry, Vermont. I hope I said that right. Or maybe it's Chris South from Londonderry, Vermont. That might be more accurate. Chris wrote in. Here's what he had to say. He said, "Hello, I've been enjoying your podcast, which I only recently discovered, unfortunately. We've all heard a lot of discussion about reserving certain pipes for certain blends or types of blends as well. There is always a lot of discussion about the many different materials, qualities of materials used to make pipes, and how they affect a smoke. However, yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts about bowl size or a pipe shape how a pipe shape affects how we perceive a tobacco. For example, do certain types of tobacco or blends taste better or different in a larger bowl, a smaller bowl, a tall bowl, a narrow bowl, a pipe with thick walls, long shank, etc. I'm doing my best to catch up on the old episodes. Keep up the good work. Thanks. And again, that is Chris from Londonderry, Vermont."
Man, Chris, thanks so much for writing in, brother. Great question. One we've kind of talked around the periphery before about, but yeah, a lot of folks... The main thing for me to say here is your mileage may vary. There's folks that say, oh yeah, the bowl shape and size and dimensions and the diameter of the pipe, tobacco chamber and all this stuff, it's very much going to affect your taste. And there's other folks that are like, nah, it's hogwash and, I don't get any of that stuff. But, there are some kind of overarching rules that some, have kind of risen their way to the top that folks tend to acknowledge a little bit when they think about pipe shapes and different tobaccos that go in them and at least what burns better or smokes better. Of course, and you did mention, the different materials of pipes that, we know about, corncob pipes smoking clean, clay and meerschaum pipes smoking clean, morta, not really wanting to build cake and those type of pipes, so you can taste the real tobacco flavor that you're smoking. But there's some other things that we think of as well. So a chunky English blend that tends to have that oily latakia, larger flakes. A lot of times we see folks smoke that in a wider bowl pipe, something that has kind of a more generous diameter to it than not. Another thing we also see, folks tend, for whatever reason, to like to smoke Virginias in a more narrow bowl, sometimes a small, narrow cylindrical bowl. I go back and forth on why this is. I think a lot of times when you're smoking Virginias out of a kind of a narrow bowl. It has more to do with, you know, there's a lot of natural sugar in Virginias, and when you have to keep them lit by puffing on them at a slower, more gradual, more delicate pace, the oxygen flow, I think, through a more narrow chamber is just a better fit for that. You don't have to puff as much to keep those bowls lit as you do a wider, thicker, or, you know, a big fat, you know, big diameter bowl. So I think that might have something to do with it. You know, there's some folks that really prefer to smoke tobacco out of a bowl that has kind of a U-shaped bottom, you know, kind of a conical cone shape that's there. And you know, they feel like the flavors are more focused towards the bottom. You get a little stronger smoke because a lot of those, you know, ashes have kind of concentrated a little bit there. Again, your mileage may vary. I think that's one of those things where you just have to continue to experiment and see what you like. Personally, again, I tend to smoke, you know, those English blends out of a little more generous sized bowl. And, you know, Virginias, we tend to gravitate towards a little smaller of a bowl. I have been finding myself recently smoking Virginias out of a Prince shaped pipe. For whatever reason, the Prince has been good for me for that, you know, but there again, a Prince is really just a kind of a pot shaped pipe with, it's more of a function of the, you know, outside aesthetic of it than a function of the bowl, the chamber itself. So just to continue to smoke them and try different things and see what works for you.
That's right. Great question there, Chris. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Jones. Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions. All right, this is going to be a very different quick fire questions.
Okay? Uh-oh.
And it is one question.
Generally, when that happens, it's a little off the rails. But anyway,
that is the case. All right, it is one question. Flip flops or slippers? And I need to explain.
Okay.
All right, let me give some context for why these two.
Yeah,
foot articles of clothing are being pitted against each other in this scenario.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I don't just mean just in general. I mean out in public, like you're going to the store or whatever, you know, it may be like flip flops, slippers. These are two shoes that we as a society have decided are not everywhere shoes. Right. Like there are many a church in the South that if you roll in with flip flops on a Sunday morning, they're going to send you right back out the door. God love you, but you're not going to be worshiping here. Like they're going to do that too. It's wrong. But they will. They will. That's just part of our way. We've accepted this. There are many a restaurant that a snooty French raider, no offense to our French listeners, is going to like turn you away for rocking up and wearing flip-flops. Even if they don't have a French waiter there, they'll pull one out as soon as they see somebody walking in with the flip-flops. Now, I'm not talking about Florida. I'm talking about, you know, the civilized world. So my point is that we as a society, no offense to our Florida listeners, we as a society have made this decision that there are some things that you can wear on your feet in certain places.
And there's a listener right now that wears slippers that's from Tampa who smokes all this OHM tobacco.
He's French.
Just like, this is the last one. And he's French. And he's French. He's like, this is the last episode ever. Yeah.
Please write in if that's you.
Please do.
We will welcome you on the show before you're out. All right. So the point is flip flops are one of these. All right. So then there's the slipper. Okay.
Right.
Recently, John David, I was in Chicago, well, relatively recently, and it was raining. There was this massive storm. I only had my tennis shoes. The tennis shoes got waterlogged. I needed to be on a flight within the next couple of hours. I roll up into a Target, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but you can get shoes at Target. And the Target, I'm looking, I just need something comfortable to wear on my feet.
Yes, I know you can get shoes at Target. Okay,
and there's... I don't know, like, you're shopping at the Rogue, John. Oh, man. Anyway, I roll up in there, and they've got, you know, the shoes section, everything. But I don't need to, like, buy some new shoes. I got a flight. And so
right.
Hanging in on the tabs, you know, the little plastic tabs that they kind of attach it to, so you have to cut it and everything. They got slippers. But these aren't, like, slippers like fuzzy bunny slippers or something like that, right?
Okay,
These are slippers that I'm thinking, like, those look like loafers with cushioning. You know what I mean? Like the bottoms are very like treaded. You know, they have like you could walk out on a street and step on a tack and not get hurt. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, I mean they're house shoes. These are house shoes, right? They're slippers, but and you slip them on, and you know you wear them to keep your feet warm. You know, maybe you can wear them when you get out of the shower, or you know, if you're walking out to go get the newspaper,
or pass the newspaper into the shop. My point is that like they are built from the bottom to handle most things.
Yeah, sure, okay, yeah.
It's just they're also very comfortable. So yeah. Here's my question, John David, and kind of pitting these two against each other, because I think that they should be seen in equal capacity. If you can roll up somewhere in flip-flops, you should be able to wear slippers. Again, I'm not talking about the fuzzy bunny slippers. I'm talking about these kind house of newer, yeah. sure, house shoes. Like,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go with flip flops here. I'm gonna be that guy that goes with the flip flop. I think we should differentiate between the strata of the lowest end of shoe. You know, I think for instance, maybe there are churches that you know should let you in if you wear flip flops, but maybe if you're wearing a slipper,
But they look like how can you even tell that they're slip? Okay, I got called out recently. Okay, that this isn't clear.
Oh, there's just okay. I got it.
I got called out recently about this.
Because, a little bitterness. Yeah.
Well, they're very comfortable. I got back from my trip. I wore them on the plane. They were really comfortable. And then I was like, well, why don't I just wear these anywhere? And I mean, like, not again, not like going out. I'm not wearing my Country Squire radio ring with my slippers on, like. But I mean, like, if I need to, you know, run out to the grocery store or something like that, why can't I wear them? Like, to me, they just look like very comfortable loafers. But apparently, I'm the only person that sees them like that, because everybody recognizes them as slippers and looks at me like I'm some sort of crazy.
Well, and you know, you just call a spade a spade. You know? It's like, but that's the guy that lives under the, you know, the Brit. What's the interstate? The 610 there in Houston. They're like, oh, that's the guy I saw under the underpass over there. So,
but the flip flop requires, like, it provides you less protection for your foot. In many regards, man, if you step on a tack with a flip flop, you're getting a poke. You know, like there's something there. These are much more secure. You know, all right.
Get you some flip flops, and if you need to go to the grocery store, go to the grocery store in flip flops. And you know, there's things in your life that just kind of describe, or you know, they just kind of announce to the world that you've just kind of given up. You know,
see, but that's not. Maybe I could reimagine what it means to wear slippers at the grocery store.
You could.
Maybe it means. Maybe it's a place of prominence. Maybe it's something to aspire to.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We changed the meaning of it.
Yeah, I'll let you start a podcast about that with someone else.
you're not going to go on this crusade with me.
Yeah, I don't want to be associated with this crusade. No.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, good. There you go.
Next time you go to the store and buy your OHM tobacco, be sure to rock your. Be sure to rock your slippers and your house shoes with your Glen pipe and your pajamas. I look forward to photo evidence.
You hear about me on the news.
I'm on team flip flop. Okay.
All right.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback coming in today. We got one on from Tom Hodgson. Now, this is great. Tom Hodgson, he was listening to the Vincent Van Gogh episode, which, by the way, one of my favorite episodes that we've done recently.
That was great. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that, man.
That was kind of the drunk history, like the Country Squire radio equivalent of like a drunk history. it was a lot of fun.
It was very sober, by the way, actually.
Mostly. But it was a lot of fun. So glad to have gotten a lot of feedback from that. But Tom wrote in, he said, are there any books that you would recommend for reading more about Vincent Van Gogh's life? I found the backstory fascinating, but very heart-wrenching. And Tom, one thing I wanted to recommend, I don't have a book for you, but I do want to recommend biography.com. They've got a really, really great documentary on Vincent Van Gogh that was kind of a source for my research. There's some other areas as well, but that was really, I really enjoyed that biography. It's a little early 2000s in terms of its quality. So it's a little granulated, you know, kind of that old school PBS, you know, like 1 a.m. documentary thing that you might see. You know what I mean? But really good information there. So I'd recommend that. All right. Next up, we also have Carl H., who wrote in. Oh, and this is about the Country Squire ring. What did Carl have to say?
Yeah. He says, my Country Squire ring came in today, and I'm blown away at how good the ring looks in person. It fits perfectly, and the finish is great, too. I'm very pleased with the craftsmanship and kind of surprised I got number two. Apparently, the rings are numbered.
Yeah, it's really awesome, man. As people have been getting them in, they've been showing them off and then also showing the numbers as they come in. So, yeah, he was actually number two. I can't remember who was number one, but I've seen them coming in, you know, 520 and on up. It's been pretty cool.
Bo, you got to step up your online ordering game. Christmas is just around the corner, and you don't want that last can of Throgmorton Cellar to get snipped out from under you. thank y'all and Sylvan Forge Creations for making this happen. This country bumpkin just became a little more civilized, and that's from Carl H., good friend of the show and the shop. So that's great. Thank you so much, Carl.
That's awesome, Carl. And thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah, I mean, look, holidays are coming up strong, man. We got to get ahead of the game here. In fact, if you haven't gone ahead and ordered your Country Squire radio ring, this is a good time to do it. Or again, poke that loved one if you're kind of hoping that somebody's going to, you know, pick that up for you for Christmas or something coming up. So get those in. We want to make sure that we get them out there while they last. So thank you so much, Carl, for that. And hope everybody's enjoying those. Love getting those pictures in too, with the numbers in particular. I didn't realize they were going to be numbered either until Carl and Mark and others started like really posting their pictures as they
That's
started
so
getting them.
That's so great.
In.
Yeah. You know, well, it's interesting. When we got ours, Bo, they weren't numbered, which I guess ours are like 0 and 00.
Exactly. We're the negatives. We're
I know, negative right, numbers. Man? But, man, anyway, just really cool. And, man, we're glad you're happy with it, Carl.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, man, this was a fun episode. We got a chance to, you know, just be a little goofy. That's what the hamster cage episode is all about, right?
I needed it, man. I needed a little goofy in my life. And, you know, if you are a pipe smoker, this is very serious. If you're a pipe smoker that is also a roll your own guy, let us know what you like to smoke. Let us know what you like to smoke. Yeah. And there's a lot of pipe smokers that are roll your own guys. I imagine if you're listening to this show and you like, you know, higher quality pipe tobacco, you know, there are probably some great, you know, roll your own, tobaccos or pipe tobaccos that are kind of marketed towards that segment that are really, really good. And I'd actually be very interested in knowing kind of what you guys are into and what you like. And so let us know. And if you're an OHM smoker, give us some feedback. We want to hear from you. We really want to hear from you.
You can send that feedback to @_JohnDavis_ Country Squire. that's feedback I'm not looking forward to. But no, seriously though, we do want to hear from y'all. You can tweet into the show @SquireRadio. You can tweet into the shop @_CountrySquire. JohnDavis @JohnDavisCole. You can of course find all that information and more at CountrySquireRadio.com. And man, well, with that. Delightful offering for people to give us, for the Roll Your Own crowd to give us their feedback. I think we're going to go ahead and call this one in the books, my friend.
I'm excited. Hey, there's a lot of great Roll Your Own tobacco out there. I'm being serious. There really is. I just don't think OHM is one of them.
All right. Fair enough. No, fair enough. Well, they'll let us know. All right.
They will.
Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.